Welcome to Listen In. I'm Brian Gahan, and this podcast focuses on the stories that are buried deep inside all conversations. Be it the kind of conversation you have with someone whose life experience is full of interesting POVs and insights, or the kind of conversation you have inside your own head around your own life experiences. Today in episode 15, astrologer and wayshower Michelle Piller, who we met in episode 6, is back to take us on a ride through the moon phases and how we can use them to help manifest our goals. Spoiler alert, she doesn't stop there. The back half of this conversation is pretty mind-bending as Michelle challenges our reality with a conversation around the merging of new science with spirituality and how this is affecting our consciousness. Hi, Michelle. Welcome back to Listen In.
Hi, Brian. I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
I'm so glad to talk with you some more. Our last conversation was fairly extensive, and it touched on a number of different topics, but it mostly was to introduce you to my audience. This time around, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit more around sort of some fundamentals, and I'd like to start with astrology because I'm one of those people that I believe in astrology, but I have a difficult time communicating to other people why or how they should approach it in a way that maybe can resonate with them. So if you were to take somebody and, you know, let's say they're a blank slate and they're new to all of this, how might you start introducing them to something like astrology?
Well, that's a really great question, Brian. Especially since I am the kind of astrologer that more and more is moving away from the term astrology. Because I'm finding astrology as a term, number one, it comes with a lot of baggage, but that's besides the point. It's not enough of an encompassing term for where we are evolving towards. And what a replacement term is yet, I haven't come up with it. So, hey, listeners, hit me with your great ideas.
let's brand something here.
Yeah. But what I will say, Brian, for people that were to jump into, let's call it astrology, and they honestly, they're skeptical or non-believers, that's okay. But I would throw them into the physics pool and explain it as it's resonance. It's about resonance. Everything in creation resonates either harmonically or not with everything else. So everything that is living has a frequency. It has a type of resonance. And so we, as biological entities, resonate with everything in creation, including the sun and the planets. We are all forged out of the same, let's say, creative boiler room. We all exploded out of a debris of stardust. And so we carry the same codes and energy. It's physics.
That was great. So let's just take a step back and let's just talk about maybe you can walk me through some sort of fundamental examples, maybe by using some things to do with astrology or, you know, like something basic, like maybe the sun and the moon, etc.
My feeling is that for anybody that is new to following any kind of cycles of the planets, or the sun and the moon, start with the sun and the moon. Those are the lights in the sky. And, we live by the sun, literally. And the moon is simply a reflective satellite. It reflects the light of the sun. So a basic primer that neither the moon nor any of the planets have any particular light in and of themselves. Anytime we see Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, or Saturn in the skies, when we can see those planets, we're actually seeing the light of the sun reflecting off of the surface of those planets. And it's the same with the moon. Now, I know that's really basic stuff, but there is a symbolic reason that I mention that. That really, if we're going to be seekers of spiritual wholeness and seekers of truth, then the sun is our most guiding principle. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I've never thought of it that way. That's interesting that it's, you know, the sun gives us life and light, and what we see is being reflected by that.
Oh, that's really nicely put. Yes, exactly. And so since it is the moon that we see above and beyond the planets, we can't always see the planets. Sometimes they are so close to the sun that we can't see them. The moon we see quite often. So I'm going to share with you a really basic hack that can help people in terms of timing their efforts. The idea is that as the moon waxes, meaning as its light grows, you want to make that time. That's a 14-day period from a new moon to a full moon. While that light in the sky is growing, is really your best time to make your external efforts towards manifestation. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. But let me just ask you, when you say the word efforts and increase your efforts, maybe describe a little bit about what you mean by efforts.
Okay. You have a goal to accomplish. Let's say that. And let's say you have about a four-week timeline for that accomplishment. Your best way to manage that is to, if you can, throw your Gregorian mindset, your Gregorian calendar mindset away as much as you can and follow the light of the moon. So when the moon is dark, we don't see a moon in the sky. It is in its new phase. And that's a good time for you. Look up at the sky at night. I see absolutely no moonlight. Well, that must mean that we're in the new moon phase. So it's time for me to establish clarity about my next goal, my intention. What do I wish to do with these next 14 days? Mm-hmm. Then as you start to see a sliver of moon and that light continues to grow, you want to take very tangible steps towards that goal.
Gotcha.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to, you know, to describe it, is like as that sliver of light is growing across the face of the moon, that's increasing your intensity or your volume of effort.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Right? That is working with the cycles. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the Gregorian calendar. I'm not bashing the Gregorian calendar. I'm just saying that if you are completely new to this kind of information, then that's a really helpful basic primer. Mm-hmm. Now, once we get to the full moon, and we all know what that looks like,
yeah.
Then count about 3 days after the full moon. And now you're going to notice the light of the moon starts to wane. It decreases. And as it gets less and less, your best effort is to go from external output to a more internal and reflective phase. So thinking about, okay, what have I accomplished towards my goal so far? Where might I need to do some course corrections? How am I feeling about this? Is it still my goal? Has anything shifted yet? So that's more of an internal questioning journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds like a very nice rhythmic pattern for life in general, which is you've kind of got 14 days on and 14 days of reflection before you start your 14 days on again.
Yes, exactly.
Now, explain to me what might happen, or, you know, like, again, if I'm testing this model, let's say I decide because of circumstances that during a period where I should be internal, I'm still going to be external. Is there any sort of things that might come along or happen that make it like obvious? Like, here's an example, a perfect example of doing that.
What I would tell you is if you are as strenuous in your efforts during the waning phase of the moon, you may notice a sense of diminishing returns. You're chasing after something that is kind of running away from you. And it's confusing because you thought you had it within grasp.
Right. Right. So you've been doing your 14 days, you're working really hard, you look like you're about to get it. It's just going to take a little more effort. But if it's like 4, 5, 6 days after that full moon, you're going to potentially start to feel like it's slipping through your fingers. And that's a normal that's, in other words, that's normal.
Yes, it's part of the cycle, which is a message for you to check in with yourself, mm-hmm. to stop striving so externally and to get into what is happening inside here, what's happening inside me. Where am I at with this process? Do I want to keep striving? It's feeling a little more challenging. Now, speaking of challenging, Brian, there are always two caveats when we're following the lunar cycle. You know, when you see the half moon in the sky.
What explain that to me, half moon.
Oh, okay. So, you know, when you look up at the sky and it looks like you can see half a moon?
Oh, like only half is lit up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Now the irony is we actually call that a quarter moon, even though you can clearly see half the moon lit up, but it's just referring to that we're a quarter of the way through its 4-week process cycle.
Right. So it's 1 week in.
Yes. Yes, exactly. 1 week after a new moon and 1 week after a full moon, you're going to get that half moon glow in the sky. When you see a half moon, that is a really lovely visual reminder to slow down and check in. That's when I would call that the equivalent of you're in your car and you're approaching an amber signal. You better choose to slow down and not go through the intersection.
Right.
Right? That's what a quarter moon is telling us symbolically. And for newbies, again, a quarter moon simply looks like half a pie in the sky.
So now, is that true on the way up and down? Meaning,
yes.
So in other words, even during that first week of effort, going from a new moon to a full moon, you're going to come to a phase which is a half moon or a quarter moon, as you described it, but half the moon is lit. That's also a time to go within.
Yes, it is a moment to pause and say, hang on a second, let's make sure, A, I know exactly what I'm doing here. B, do I have all the right parts? Are my ducks lined up? Usually when we get to that quarter moon, whether it's the light is waxing or waning, we encounter the, let's call it the proof of concept. Okay. This is the testing phase. This is where we have to say, okay, I've encountered a little hurdle, or it could be a big hurdle, but I've encountered some kind of hurdle. How am I going to get around it or over it? Or do I want to? Is it actually this hurdle telling me this is not a viable project or goal at this particular moment? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Make sense so far?
Yeah, no, this is great. I love this.
And I'm going to give you one more little hack. About the moon.
The moon hacks.
Yes, because this I love. You know when you see the sweet little crescent moons?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether it is waxing or waning, those are very sweet moments of opportunity. So for people that, again, don't necessarily follow the cycle of the moon, all you have to do is look up at the sky and you see a nice little crescent moon. That's a visual reminder that if you make an effort, it will really flow nicely for you. It will yield more positive results than you would imagine with just a little bit of effort.
Hmm. Now, I just want to get some clarity here. When you say the crescent moon and just a little bit of light, so I think of the DreamWorks logo, right?
Yes, that's the moon. That's the crescent moon. Yes.
Right. So what, explain to me again, what's the difference between that and a new moon?
A new moon is dark. We can't see the moon when it's in its new phase because it's in the same sector of the sky as the sun.
Okay.
And so we can't see it. Now, if you do happen to be a person that gets up really early, you may see the moon rising, or at least the shadow of the moon. You might see it rising with the sun.
Okay.
But very few people actually catch the new moon. It's you certainly won't see it at nighttime.
Right. Okay, I get it. So basically the crescent is kind of the start of the new moon. Like there's the new moon, and then a day or so later, you'll start to see the crescent of the moon light up.
Yeah, about 3 days later, you'll start seeing that sweet little crescent. And that's a moment for you to say, who do I need to connect with that is going to help me do this, that, and the other? Or I would like to make an appointment with so-and-so. This is probably a more winning day to reach out to that person than if I wait another 3 days when I'm going to see that half moon in the sky, which says, slow down, amber.
Right. Oh, this is great. And so when it goes the other way, when it's crescenting off, it's the same thing.
That's when I would say those are your sweet thank yous. Thank you for doing this. That's when you want to reach out to a person. You know, Brian, when you can be a little bit sneaky, but it's not nefarious. You know, when you reach out to somebody really ostensibly for one purpose, but really it's for another purpose underneath.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's what that final sliver in the sky can be. It can be that lovely, thanks for having us over for dinner, or thank you for your efforts on this, that, and the other. It keeps you in mind for down the road when
right.
you may need their help again. And you've dotted your I's and you've crossed your T's. It's a really lovely time to do it. It's received benevolently by that other person.
Right. Gotcha. No, this is great.
So that's what I love about how simple it is to just, all you have to do is look up at the sky and see what's going on. And we're given some visual cues about how to go with the flow.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Michelle from Mystic Maps, who's discussing the symbolic nature of the moon and is about to introduce us to a concept that is truly out of this world.
I just want to take a step back, though, and go, okay, everything that I think most lay people know about the moon is, hey, full moon, that's crazy time. That's when the crazies come out. So explain to me, if we've got this idea of going from a new moon to a full moon, and all of this energy and all of this activity is building and all this external effort, is the full moon just the moment when there's just too much going on the, like there's all this effort, or is there still that aspect of loony, crazy, there's too much going on with all the crazies have come out.
Well, all of the above. Yeah, we always notice heightened energy at a full moon, right? Everybody notices it. Even people who never stop to look up at the night sky, you'll hear them on the day of a full moon. You'll hear them say, "Why is everything so crazy today?" And I always want to say, look up at the sky.
Yeah.
Full moon. Here's the thing though. A full moon is the peak. It's the peak of the cycle between the sun and the moon. They have reached the furthest distance from each other that they can. They're 180 degrees apart. That's half of the circle. The sun and the moon are as far apart from each other as they can be. They're across the sky, so to across the zodiac from each other. And so it is the height, the culmination of their relationship. And that creates a type of tension. Because I liken it to you've got an axis and you've got... Well, let's say it's a seesaw. You've got the sun on one, sitting on one side of the seesaw and the moon on the other. And they need to sort of stay, they need to hold that axis strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or one of them is going to go flying off the seesaw.
Right.
It's a reminder at the full moon for us to maintain a sense of inner balance. It's a type of spiritual yoga. So when you start noticing the crazies come out, you want to check in to find out if you're one of the crazies. If, you know, am I adding to this? Am I adding to this crazy energy? How can I be stillness? Mm-hmm. How can I be stillness in the midst of the tension that I am noticing around me or that I may be experiencing from within. But what I love about a full moon is that culmination. It's the report card. It's the cosmic report card saying, this is where you're at. This is where you're at in your manifestation journey. If you're not quite there yet, it's okay. You've got another moon cycle coming up.
Right. See, I've always used the moon when I'm talking to people that kind of don't believe in even the effects of a full moon. And I've always just said the whole concept of I've used it, you know, the body of water. And I say, like, listen, like how, you know, if the moon can affect our tides, then why wouldn't that affect our bodies if we're 70% water? Mm-hmm. But I love how you've taken that. Your moon hacks, I think, are fantastic because you've taken it out of the emotional and the loony and the crazy and gone, here it is in a structure and in a way that it can help you manifest and feel like you are in rhythm with some cycles.
Yes.
Which is what the moon did for our ancestors. Right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
It's meant to be something that's rhythmic and about a cycle and phases. It's not meant just to be, oh, it's crazy and emotional and other sorts of things that people just associate with sort of the moon and the craziness of a full moon.
You're raising an interesting point there in talking about how some people see that lunar energy as being associated with madness. You know, we call it lunacy and craziness and things like that.
Right.
I'm fascinated by that because in the nature of the work that I do, I do a lot of reading, a lot of research, you know, just to keep up with where we're going in terms of the community that I associate with, which is by and large called the light worker community or the way shower community. And so this is where my hacks, my moon hacks that you love, I'm going to throw a little wrench into the works.
Okay.
Because, yeah. Because I have, over the past several months, come up against many writers who are saying we have to stop paying attention to the cycles of the moon. So that kind of headline grabs my attention right away. As a follower of the moon, I want to know why someone would say, stop using the moon in astrology or in general. And so I've been doing a lot of digging, and it's really getting weird, Brian. We are living in, you know, this age where we've, you know, now got this term fake news. Mm-hmm. And we know that living in the digital age, we've got access to as much disinformation as we do valid information.
Right.
And it makes our jobs as humans really challenging to suss out what we can actually rely on and what we need to discard. And it's no different in the spiritual seeking community. It's very complicated.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you want to share, if you would like me to share with you some of the odd things that I've been encountering in my reading.
Now, when you're saying the odd things, you mean like things that are contradicting each other?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Please share away.
Okay. Well, this is going to go a little bit weird for your listeners, so I apologize if it's too much, but on the other hand, you could think of me as a type of guide or curator of what's out there information-wise. So there is a community of people, and I would ask you to look up David Icke, last name I-C-K-E, spelled okay. Icky, but his name is David Icke. He's a British fellow that has been talking about the moon for decades and decades. He's really out there. Now, one of the things that David Icke proposes, and many people agree with him, is that the moon is not an organic celestial body. So I'm going to let that sink in for a second.
So when you say organic, do you mean that is that like saying it's just a rock?
He is saying it is not rock. It is not even organic. David Icke says that the moon is a hollowed out type of base, that the face of the moon that we never see, because remember, we only see one face of the moon.
Right.
We don't actually know what the other side of the moon looks like. David Icke claims that the moon is, there has always been a lunar base, that it has ancient alien technology on it, that there is an ancient hollowed out spaceship of some sorts, that is essentially what the moon is. It is not an organic is not a celestial body. It is a thing that was put there. And he poses the question, when did the moon appear? Was there ever a time when there wasn't a moon? Mm-hmm. He has spoken with physicists who say, and I don't, Brian, remember if we talked about this the last time I was on Listen In.
I don't think we did. But we could.
So one of the questions, one of the things that David Icke has said is that he has spoken with physicists who say, you know, it actually is inexplicable how something the size of the moon, that large, could be this close to the Earth and not get pulled in to us and crash into us. It's inconceivable how that's happening, and we can't explain it. It makes no sense. It's too big an object to make any type of physics sense.
And physicists are agreeing with that?
They're not necessarily saying to David Icke, "Hey, we think you are right on, mister. It's a hollowed out spaceship."
Right.
They're saying we can't explain. We can't explain why the moon hasn't crashed into the Earth. It's too big an object. It has too much mass. Why does it not collide with us?
Right. Now, other planets have moons as well, right?
Yes.
And they don't crash into them.
Correct. So I am supposing that that is explained by the moons are not as close to those planets as our moon is to our planet.
Okay.
The idea is that it is too large to be this close to us. It makes no sense. So that's one thing, if you will, about the moon.
So that's the non-organic comment explained.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is David Icke's viewpoint. And really, to go down that rabbit hole, if anybody wants to, you'd have to YouTube David Icke and moon, because he talks about many, many, many things. The moon is just one of them. And it's pretty out there. So if that's a fascinating thing, go down that rabbit hole. And remember that I am simply the messenger. I have no comment one way or the other. I haven't been to the moon and don't know. But this is where, you know, it becomes a challenge for somebody like me who is driven by curiosity to get to the bottom of something. It becomes a challenge to know what is real and what is not.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Michelle from Mystic Maps, who's bending our reality around the new science merging with spirituality and what the evolution of humanity may actually look and feel like.
I know you know the physicist, and I always say his name wrong, but Nassim Haramian? Haramian?
Nassim Haramein.
Haramein. Thank you for that. Yes. You know, listening to him talk about gravity and, you know, and energy, you would not be far off from us. See, I've always had this belief system that we once believed the Earth was flat. And
yes.
We look back at those people and go, what a bunch of idiots. Well, right now, we still, in our evolution of knowledge and understanding, we still believe the world is something like flat that somebody in the future will look back and go, look at those idiots. They thought whatever, the moon was real, or that gravity existed, or whatever, that these new paradigms, I guess they are.
Mm-hmm.
This new physics is showing us is starting to be under question. And so when I listen to you say the moon could be a hollowed out spaceship that was put there for some purpose that we will one day discover, that, you know, could be like, I'm at that point in my life where I go, yeah, maybe. Like, because, you know, I've seen so many things that have just been proven, even in the last 20 years, that we've proven them to not be correct. And we've believed something for a long time. And yeah, so anyways, that's my ramble. But yeah, so, okay, so let's put a period at the end of that. The moon is not organic. And send people to the internet they should probably start at a new moon so that they can ramp up their efforts.
Yes.
And definitely take those reflection moments. But
yes.
So there's people who say don't follow the phases of the moon because it's not organic.
Correct. Now, they're also saying, so within, let's call it the lightwork community, way shower community, some of our listeners may have heard of, you know, the term ascension community. Basically, the idea, whatever you want to label it, is the work that I do involves being part of the evolution of humanity. Let's just call it that. And I think most people on the planet are really interested in self-evolution. I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt that mm-hmm. we all wish to, at the end of the day, be better and more whole inside than we were before.
Correct.
So I come across other readings that don't necessarily say, you know, let's go with the Earth as a hollowed out spaceship, which is David Icke's theory, but that the moon is, how to put this, Brian, that its energy is, I've actually read the term fallen energy, and I'm putting that in air quotes for right. you. It represents fallen energy, that the codes, because everything in life, in creation, is coded, okay, by virtue of the fact that it exists. You are coded, I am coded. Coding is another word for information, and we get our coding through our sun, our star, the thing that holds our life together. So sunlight, as lovely and poetic as it is, you can also look at it scientifically from a computer point of view and say that sunlight is encoded with energy and information. So we come to this idea that I come across, which is that the moon's energy is fallen. It is its codes, meaning its information, belongs to an old system that entrapped and enslaved humans and prevented humans from being self-reflective and from busting out of whatever limiting paradigms they were in. That making sense so far?
Yes. Yes. So let me just recap. So the moon allowed us to externalize our what would be internal reflection. So we externalized it to this moon, and therefore we didn't learn to do that on our own internally.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. And actually very well said. And I would actually go one further and say, we can't even pin that on the moon. That's how we are as a culture.
Correct. Really? Yes, 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 absolutely. Yeah. But it wasn't the moon doing it to us. We just had this thing up there in the sky going through its phases that we attached a lot of meaning to.
Yes. Because and that we are guilty, I suppose you could say, as a culture, certainly as a Western culture, we are guilty of externalizing everything and really having very little in the way of reflection, that we are a consumerist society. We are driven by the wants and needs of our egos, which are really, our egos are fear driven. Okay. And so the things that I come across in my readings about the moon align with this idea that the moon, the more we follow the cycles of the moon, the more we remain fear driven by egoic desire, and it's an old system that is collapsing as we try to evolve ourselves into a new way of living.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that, you know, makes sense if we go back to what you were originally discussing when you were talking about the phases of the moon and the moon hacks. You use the word efforts, mm-hmm. right? Which is an ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's what came up for me right away. It's like, oh, I must have a goal. I must have something I desire in order to start to follow these phases of the moon to then manifest what it is that I'm wanting.
Bingo. Exactly. And what is actually happening very slowly, but catching on around the world, is an entirely opposite idea. And that's why we are having real interesting, but nevertheless clashing ideas. So these things that you and I have been talking about, this external output, efforting, striving, these are very, what the Wayshower community calls three-dimensional concepts. They are laden with effort, striving. There's a new approach to life that is gently catching on, and the Wayshower community would call that a fifth dimensional concept, which is stop striving.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in to yourself and notice your own electromagnetism. So what do I mean by that? That's the positive, negative energy, right? Everything has a charge and a current. It's either an electric charge, which is that positive yang, mm-hmm. external output, right?
Mm-hmm.
The magnetic current is yin. It's receptive. It's passive. It's right brain, creative, intuitive. And so as a species, what we are now grappling with is, do I want to do what I've always done? I have been taught that striving and achieving, that's just what you do. That's what life is. You do that. And now there's a new school of thought that's saying, what would happen if you stopped that and tuned into yourself and said, actually, do I even want this thing that I'm positing I strive for, number one? Number two, if I want it, I don't have to work so hard for it. And this is where we get into creative visualization, which you and I have talked about,
mm-hmm.
and the more magnetic sense of aligning yourself with it by virtue of dreaming on it, thinking on it, imagining yourself in that situation that you desire to bring about, feeling the feelings that you would feel if you were in that situation. And I'm going to pause for a moment, Brian, because I don't want to let it slip. Some of that information for listeners that want to go down that rabbit hole, one of the people that I follow is Dr. Joe Dispenza.
And how do you spell that last name?
Dispenza. And anybody that might have watched the movie The Secret might remember Dr. Joe.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Following him on Instagram, for instance, can be a real eye-opener. If you want to learn more about how to just work with who you are, work with who you are to be where you want to be.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with lunar energy. It has to do with tuning in and noticing the frequency that you are at. What do I mean by that? Just tuning in and what am I noticing about myself? What's my body doing right now? Is it giving me any signals? If so, where? Am I feeling calm? really, we're entering a period where, and this is where Nassim Haramein, the physicist that you mentioned, comes in. It's around acknowledging your internal world. Your internal world is the very thing that shows up externally for you. If you want to know where you're at, look at your surroundings. And that's going to give you a big piece of information about what your internal landscape is like. That would be a hack for people that are new to self-reflection or don't know quite what they're looking for. If you want to know, well, where am I at psychologically, spiritually? Am I in a pretty calm, centered place? Well, look at your current environment. Your environment is always, always a reflection of something that's going on within you.
So would it be an interesting exercise for somebody who's just trying to figure this out to sit down and maybe look at their environment, whether it's where they live, how they live, who they live, and write down descriptions of that? You know, yes. Like, let's just say it's like, it's, you know, let's say I live in a messy apartment and it's not very clean and there's food that's kind of molding in the fridge and my clothes are piled on the floor. And if I put some words to that, you know, messy, maybe unhealthy, et cetera, you would then take that and you'd say, okay, that's, how is that internally? How am I internally messy? How am I, is that what you would say? Or am
yes. Yes. That's a really very useful tool for self-awareness, is to take that information that your external environment is providing and say, and how am I like that myself? Mm-hmm. Because this is something that ultimately physics is leading us to, and something that every great mystic has told us, which is everything is one. You are your external environment. The deepest, deepest kernel of the truth, and this is where it gets a little existential, is there is only one, one with a capital O. There is only one. And everything splinters off as a reflection, refraction, piece of that one. Mm-hmm. And so the internal and the external are the same.
Yes, exactly. So just to try and kind of, okay, so we start out talking about the moon.
Yeah.
Astrology 101 to the power of 10, I think. Yeah. And now we've gone into, you know, so we learned some moon hacks. We then talked about whether the moon is actually something that we should be spending time and attention on, which then opened up the conversation about sort of where things are going. People are starting to look more internally and more at the magnetic kind of attraction. That is sort of something that we're learning. So just in kind of like a bit of a maybe summary, what's coming up for me is, are we going to be able to feel more grounded in this new way of thinking and seeing, like looking internally and looking at magnetism, as opposed to, you know, astrology and the moon and these types of things that they never really, like, people never felt grounded in it. I mean, yes, there's astrologers who might have felt grounded in it, and there's people who felt, but like as a society, we didn't really pick that ball up and run with it. Right?
Exactly.
As I keep sort of talking with different people about how, you know, where we're going as a society and where we're going as our consciousness expands, do you see us grounding ourselves in this new paradigm in a way that we've never grounded ourselves in something maybe other than religion?
Yes, I do. And that excites me tremendously because we are, I would say, the vast majority of us have been either taught or have learned how to cope with the immense difficulties of being a person on this planet by living in our heads, right? Mm-hmm. Many people live from the neck up and are divorced from the rest of their body. And that's why you, if you look around and you're living in a messy pad and there's food going off and there's piles of laundry gathering and so on, that's a really strong hint that you are not grounded in yourself. You are not living in your body. The beauty of learning how to live, and I'm going to include electricity as well. So we do not want to divorce electricity from magnetism. We are moving into a time when these two things need to flow. The electric and magnetic principles work beautifully together. We, the humans, have to wake up to that and know that we are pure electromagnetic. So let's learn how to use our bodies, because that's what it is. So tuning in to your own self is a way of grounding yourself. This is not meant to be some kind of hippy-dippy thing. It is meant to ground you, put you back into your body. And actually, Brian, there's a term for that in the way shower community, and that is called, not surprisingly, embodiment.
Okay.
We are learning how to be fully realized spiritual beings in our body. We are taking the old messaging that came from some religious doctrination that the body is some kind of shameful thing that one must transcend. We are doing away with that notion. And we are saying, actually, the body is my vehicle, and it is as much a vector of enlightenment as my mind, if you will. It is a part of enlightenment, not apart from enlightenment. It's a piece of it.
Right.
And we cannot become enlightened if we refuse to live within our bodies, feet fully on the ground, while our heads may be in the clouds and aspiring to a more joyful, gracious way of living. But that is not pie in the sky. You can only make that happen by living the reality in your body. And I'm going to bring this back to Nassim Haramein, because you mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm. And how he talked about gravity. He talks about gravity. Nassim Haramein proposes that time and gravity are one, and that really we are time and gravity. It is our memories that create time.
Right.
And by living in our memory, so I'm now going to extend that principle. When you live in your memory, when you are living in stories and events that occurred yesterday and before, you are entrapped in time. You are entrapped in gravity. You are entrapped in your memory, and your memory is time. If you wish to be a person that is living in the now, you have to be willing to let go of stories that you have told yourself about who you are, about where you come from, and about what is possible for you. You have to start with beginner mind. That's a child mind, innocent mind of what is now possible for me if I take away all the stories of limitation that I have told myself. Mm-hmm. That's gravity, and that's time. And it's really, really cool how, you know, we are really starting to align science and spirituality.
our memory as time or the creator of time fascinates me because it feels so true. And it also, you know, we've all heard many people say, you know, time is irrelevant or time doesn't exist or there's multiple timelines. And there's always been that, you know, I don't understand, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. But when I heard him describe that our memories create the concept of time, that just blew my mind. And it makes me excited to have another conversation with you on another episode where we can go down that rabbit hole. And I'll have to label it something other than, you know, astrology, a couple of ideas you might want to think about.
I agree. And I'd love to have that conversation with you. That's, I'm passionate about where we're at right now with physics and how it's merging with the spiritual community. It is a rather edgy conversation, Brian, because finding language that we can all understand around new concepts, that's where it becomes exciting and challenging at the same time. So I would simply now leave our listeners with the thought that everything is connected. When you're looking up at the night sky, you're looking at the moon, you might want to ask yourself, what is that? Is that a chunk of ancient stardust? Or is that, in fact, some other thing that is not organic and has nothing to do with anything? Maybe it's a monitoring device. Maybe it's a satellite in the modern sense of the word. It just is a technological thing that keeps track of us. You know, ask yourself some questions. You know, do the Katie Byron thing. Is this true?
Right.
And go within. Trust yourself, your body. I will repeat this message probably every time you and I have a conversation. Your body cannot lie. Your body will speak the truth, even if your mind tells you an entirely different story. So if it feels right, if it feels true, and your body is flooded with some kind of information that says, oh my God, yes, I believe that. Believe it.
Mm-hmm. That should be a t-shirt. Your body does not lie.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's very, very, very good advice. Well, this journey that we have gone on has been fascinating, and it's opened up a whole lot of interesting subject matters, some references. I'll put all of that stuff in the episode notes, links to the different people that you've mentioned and to where to find them on the internet. But on that note, Michelle, where can people find you if they want to reach out and connect with you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Mystic Maps by Michelle, and on Twitter, which is just Mystic Maps. I have a Facebook page at Mystic Maps as well, or just throw me an email if you want, michelle@mysticmaps.co. And I will try to share with my followers input that I get from trusted sources, and throw me your questions. I'm here for you.
That's great. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to be back on Listen In.
Oh, I love being on your program. So thank you.
Oh, great. Thanks, Michelle. Take care.
All right. Take care, Brian.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's another episode of Listen In. Thanks for being. Please subscribe, leave comments, or head on over to our website at listeninpod.com. That's listen with two N's, pod.com, where you'll find episode notes, links to anything that we talked about in this episode, and you can connect with us about being a guest on Listen In.